Antinol 3432. Brother and sister, I wish to present for your consideration a few points that have been revealed to me since first there arose the difficulties connected with the question of discarding flesh meat from the tables of our medical institutions. CD 290.1. I have been plainly instructed by the Lord that flesh meat should not be placed before the patients in our sanitarium dining rooms. Light was given me that the patients could have flesh meat, if, after hearing the parlor lectures, they still urged us to give it to them, but that, in such cases, it must be eaten in their own rooms. All the helpers are to discard flesh meat. But, as stated before, if, after knowing that the flesh of animals cannot be placed on the dining room tables, a few patients urge that they must have meat, cheerfully give it to them in their rooms. CD 290.2. Accustomed, as many are, to the use of flesh meat, it is not surprising that they should expect to see it on the sanitarium table. You may find it unadvisable to publish a bill of fare, giving a list of the foods supplied at the table, for the absence of flesh meat from the dietary may seem a formidable obstacle to those who are thinking of becoming patrons of the sanitarium. CD 290.3. Let the food be palatably prepared and nicely served. More dishes will have to be prepared than would be necessary if flesh meat were served. Other things can be provided, so that meats can be discarded. Milk and cream can be used by some. CD 290.4. No prescription for flesh food. MS 64, 1901 433. Instruction has been given me that physicians who use flesh meat and prescribe it for their patients should not be employed in our institutions, because they fail decidedly in educating the patients to discard that which makes them sick. The physician who uses and prescribes meat does not reason from cause to effect, and instead of acting as a restorer, he leads the patient by his own example to indulge perverted appetite. 291, CD 290.5. The physicians employed in our institutions should be reformers in this respect and in every other. Many of the patients are suffering because of errors in diet. They need to be shown the better way. But how can a meat-eating physician do this? By his wrong habits he trammels his work and cripples his voice. CD 291.1. Many of the patients in our sanitariums had reasoned out for themselves the question of meat eating, and desiring to preserve their mental and physical faculties from suffering, had left meat out of their dietary. Thus they have obtained relief from the ills which had tortured their lives. Many not of our faith have become health reformers because, from a selfish standpoint, they saw the consistency of doing this. Many have conscientiously taken their position on health reform in diet and dress. Will Seventh-day Adventists continue to follow unhealthful practices? Will they not heed the injunction, whether therefore ye eat, or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God? CD 291.2. Caution in prescribing no flesh foods. Letter 54, 1896 434. The light that God has given upon the subject of disease and its causes needs to be dwelt upon largely, for it is the wrong habits of indulgence of appetite, and careless, reckless inattention to proper care for the body that tell upon people. Habits of cleanliness, care in regard to that which is introduced into the mouth, should be observed. CD 291.3. You are to make no prescriptions that flesh meats shall never be used, but you are to educate the mind, and let the light shine in. Let the individual conscience be awakened in regard to self-preservation and self-purity from every perverted appetite. CD 291.4. This meat-eating question needs to be guarded. When one changes from the stimulating diet of meat-eating to the fruit and vegetable diet, there will always be at first a sense of weakness and of lack of vitality, and many urge this as an argument for the necessity of a meat diet. But this result is the very argument that should be used in discarding a meat diet. 292, CD 291.5. The change should not be urged to be made abruptly, especially for those who are taxed with continuous labor. Let the conscience be educated, the will energized, and the change can be made much more readily and willingly. CD 292.1. The consumptives who are going steadily down to the grave should not make particular changes in this respect, but care should be exercised to obtain the meat of as healthy animals as can be found. CD 292.2, persons with tumors running their life away should not be burdened with the question as to whether they should leave meat eating or not. Be careful to make no stringent resolution in regard to this matter. It will not help the case to force changes, but will do injury to the non-meat eating principles. Give lectures in the parlor. Educate the mind, but force no one, for such reformation made under a press is worthless. CD 292.3, there needs to be presented to all students and physicians, and by them to others, that the whole animal creation is more or less diseased. Diseased meat is not rare, but common. Every phase of disease is brought into the human system through subsisting upon the flesh of dead animals. The feebleness and weakness in consequence of a change from a meat diet will soon be overcome, and physicians ought to understand that they should not make the stimulus of meat eating essential for health and strength. All who leave it alone intelligently, after becoming accustomed to the change, will lack health of sinews and muscles. CD 292.4, Letter 231, 1905-435. Doctor asked me if, under any circumstances, I would advise the drinking of chicken broth, if one were sick and could not take anything else into the stomach. I said, there are persons dying of consumption who, if they ask for chicken broth, should have it. But I would be very careful. The example should not injure a sanitarium or make excuse for others to think their case required the same diet. I asked doctor if she had such a case in the sanitarium. She said, no, but I have a sister in the 293 sanitarium at, who is very weak. She has weak sinking spells, but cooked chicken she can eat. I said, it would be best to remove her from the sanitarium. The light given me is that if the sister you mention would brace up and cultivate her taste for wholesome food, all these sinking spells would pass away. CD 292.5, she has cultivated her imagination, the enemy has taken advantage of her weakness of body, and her mind is not braced to bear up against the hardships of everyday life. It is good, sanctified mind cure she needs, an increase of faith, and active service for Christ. She needs also the exercise of her muscles in outside practical labor. Physical exercise will be to her one of the greatest blessings of her life. She need not be an invalid, but a wholesome-minded, healthy woman, prepared to act her part nobly and well. CD 293.1, all the treatment that may be given to this sister will be of little advantage unless she acts her part. She needs to strengthen muscle and nerve by physical labor. She need not be an invalid, but can do good, earnest labor. Recognition of emergency conditions -699/700, CD 293.2, do not let it appear, Letter 84, 1898-436. I met the doctors and brother, and talked with them for about 2 hours, and I freed my soul. I told them that they had been tempted, and that they were yielding to temptation. In order to secure patronage, they would set a meat table, and then they would be tempted to go farther, to use tea and coffee and drugs. I said, there will be temptation through the ones whose appetite for meat has been gratified, and if such ones have connection with the health home, they will present temptations to sacrifice principle. There must not be the first introduction of meat eating. Then there will not need to be an expulsion of meat, because it will never have appeared on the table. The argument had been used, that they might use meat upon the table until they could educate in regard to its disuse. But as new patients were continually coming, the same excuse would establish meat eating. No, do not let it appear 294 on the table once. Then your lectures in regard to the meat question will correspond with the message you should bear. CD 293.3, serving tea, coffee, and flesh meat in patients' rooms. Letter 213, 1900-437, in our sanitariums. No tea, coffee, or flesh meat is to be served, unless it is in some special case, where the patient particularly desires it, and then, these articles of food should be served to him in his room. CD 294.1, tea, coffee, and flesh meat not to be prescribed. 1896, Ephraim UT 4, 5 438. Physicians are not employed to prescribe the flesh diet for patients, for it is this kind of diet that has made them sick. Seek the Lord. When you find Him, you will be meek and lowly of heart. Individually, you will not subsist upon the flesh of dead animals, neither will you put one morsel in the mouths of your children. You will not prescribe flesh, tea, or coffee for your patients, but will give talks in the parlor showing the necessity of a simple diet. You will cut away injurious things from your bill of fare. CD 294.2, to have the physicians of our institutions educating by precept and example, those under their care to use a meat diet, after years of instruction from the Lord, disqualifies them to be superintendents of our health institutes. The Lord does not give light on health reform that it may be disregarded by those who are in positions of influence and authority. The Lord means just what He says, and He is to be honored in what He says. Light is to be given upon these subjects. It is the diet question that needs close investigation, and prescriptions should be made in accordance with health principles. See Progressive Dietetic Reform in Seventh-day Adventists Institutions -720-725, CD 294.3, Liquor Not to Be Served, 1902, 1795 439. We are not building sanitariums for hotels. Receive into our sanitariums only those who desire to conform to 295 right principles, those who will accept the foods that we can conscientiously place before them. Should we allow patients to have intoxicating liquor in their rooms, or should we serve them with meat? We could not give them the help they should receive in coming to our sanitariums. We must let it be known that from principle we exclude such articles from our sanitariums and hygienic restaurants. Do we not desire to see our fellow beings freed from disease and infirmity, and in the enjoyment of health and strength? Then let us be as true to principle as the needle to the pole. CD 294.4, Dishes Inviting Appetite, Letter 54, 1907 440. We cannot mold the minds of worldlings to health reform principles all at once, therefore we must not sub down to stringent rules in regard to the diet of the patients. When worldly patients come to the sanitarium, they have to make a great change in their dietary, and that they may feel the change as little as possible. The very best cookery and healthful lines should be brought in, the most palatable and inviting dishes placed upon the table. CD 295.1, those who pay for board and treatments should have their food prepared in the most palatable form. The reason for this is obvious. When the patients are deprived of flesh foods, the system feels the change. There is a feeling of letting down, and they will demand a liberality in their diet. Dishes should be prepared that will invite the appetite, and will be pleasing to the sight. CD 295.2, Foods for Invalids, Letter 171, 1903 441. A liberal diet should be provided for the patients, but care should be taken in the preparation and combination of food for the sick. The table of a sanitarium cannot be set exactly the same as the table of a restaurant. It makes a great difference whether the food is to be placed before healthy men, who can digest almost anything in the line of food, or before invalids. 296, CD 295.3, there is danger of providing too limited a diet for people who have come directly from a diet so abundant as to encourage gluttony. The fare should be liberal, but at the same time, it should be simple. I know that food can be prepared simply, and yet be so palatable as to be enjoyed even by those who have been accustomed to a richer fare. CD 296.1, let fruit be placed on the table in abundance. I am glad that you are able to provide for the sanitarium table, fruit fresh from your own orchards. This is indeed a great advantage. Not everyone can use vegetables. -516, CD 296.2, the education of the sanitarium table, Letter 71, 1896 442. In the preparation of the food, the golden rays of light are to be kept shining, teaching those who sit at the table how to live. This education is also to be given to those who visit the health retreat, that they may carry from it reformatory principles. CD 296.3, Letter 73, 1905 443. The preparation of food for sanitarium patients needs close and careful attention. Some of the patients come from homes in which the tables are daily loaded with rich food, and every effort should be made to set before them food that is both appetizing and wholesome. CD 296.4. To recommend health reform, the Lord would have the institution with which you are connected one of the most satisfying and enjoyable places in the world. I want you to show special care in providing for the patients a diet that will not endanger health, and at the same time will recommend our principles of health reform. This can be done, and being done, it will make a favorable impression on the minds of the patients. It will be an education to them, showing them the advantage of hygienic living above their own way of living. And when they leave the institution, they will carry with them a report that will influence others to go there.